Welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the ELCA. Today is Sunday, July 21st, 2019, and we are going to hear from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is the Martha and Mary story. Let's listen in now as Pastor Kendra Wild reads the gospel and gives a sermon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came and to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So like many people do in the summertime, I recently took off some time to go on vacation, which is really good. It forces me to abandon my busy schedule and just rest. Oh, the busyness. I run and I speed from appointment to meeting to church to home to ball field as if I were in a race. Disheveled kids in tow, leaving a trail of Cheerios behind us. It's not always a pretty sight. And in our consuming culture, it seems like every day brings pressure with it to fill each moment with something. Our calendars, our minds, our spirits become overly cluttered, while at the same time we fear missing out on opportunities to consume even more experiences. You gotta see this movie. You gotta go to that concert. You gotta hike that trail. And so on. Now you add to all of that an overwhelming sense of the many whom we are called to serve. So many who still go hungry. So many children who need safe homes. So many who will still go this night without shelter. And then you add to that all the issues we are facing as a nation and a world, a deepening divide between left and right, adjusting to the effects of a changing climate, huge populations of people who are displaced. It feels heavy, all of this. So, I have empathy for Martha, who is distracted by her many tasks. Oh, the many tasks. Now, Jesus heard Martha, and he sees that she was worried and distracted by many things. And I think it's worth noting here that Jesus is not going after busy Martha. He's going after worried and distracted Martha. And we hear Jesus speaking to his dear friend, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." Did you catch that? Only one thing. Not a whole book on how to declutter. Not five things to do today to get your life organized. Not a list of the top 10 things you can do to save the world. Jesus says there is need of only one thing. And Jesus is referring, of course, to what Mary's doing, sitting at his feet and listening. It's an invitation. Come, Jesus says, be with me. Listen to me. Let go of all your distractions, all of your worry. Let go of your sense of responsibility for the world. Let go of your frantic doing and just come and be with me, Jesus says. Jesus affirms Mary. Now, in English, we hear that she has chosen the better part. While in the Greek, we hear that the word is the word for good. And there's a difference, isn't there, between better and good. I think that word, the better word that we get in our English translation, sets up this false sense of sibling rivalry between what Martha is doing and what Mary is doing. You know, while Martha is busy with hospitality, Mary's doing something better. Instead, when we hear this passage with the word good in there, that Mary has chosen the good part, we interpret it differently, don't we? We hear that Mary has chosen what is good. She has chosen to connect with the source of love and of her life. She has chosen to connect with the God whom we know is good. It is Mary's singular focus on Jesus himself that is the good thing. That is the good part. While what Martha is doing, trying to serve and offer hospitality, is not necessarily wrong or inferior. Martha's problem is that her service has strayed from the object of her devotion, Jesus. And she's gotten consumed instead by her many tasks. Now, just as Jesus is calling Martha to come and focus on him, Jesus is calling you to come and be with him. Jesus is calling you, make me the focus, make me the center of your life and your world in all that you do, in all that of your living and your serving and being. So, how do we do this? How do we keep Jesus at the center of all that we are and all that we do? The first obvious answer is prayer. So how's your prayer life going lately? I really want to know. How is that for you? Do you need... Oh, good. Awesome. I'd like to hear that. Hopefully that's answer for many of you. Now, if you think you would benefit from the support of a community of prayers who gather on a weekly basis simply to practice what Mary's doing, simply to practice being in the presence of God, I would commend to you our weekly contemplative prayer group who gathers every Monday at 12:15 in the youth loft. They gather to read scripture, to pray together, and they're done by 12:45. You can talk with me or Charlotte Neal if you want to know more about this. Raise your hand, Charlotte. Charlotte, thank you. The other obvious answer to the question of how we keep Jesus at the center of our lives is to boot out anyone or anything else that's taking up that center role in our lives. This is first commandment stuff, folks. It's a you shall have no other gods before me type problem. Now, I'll tell you who or what usually occupies that center role in my life. It's usually me. I have always felt the need to be well thought of. I want other people to like me and to admire me. It's my weakness and my failing that I cherish the good opinion of others. And I usually find that when I'm burned out, when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm in that Martha mode, it's usually because I'm working hard to convince others to admire me by my achievements. That's my idolatry. It's my placing my need to be admired front and center instead of what God, being in God and doing and being what God calls me to do and be. Idolatry. It's a serious business, and it's a problem that's spoken about throughout the Bible. Okay, so Bible quiz. Ecclesiastes 3. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Ecclesiastes 3. You know, there's a time for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to reap. Well, also in those verses is the the mysterious phrase is a time to gather stones and a time to scatter them. Now, every time I heard that part of the scripture, I was kind of puzzled over it. I wondered, what is gathering stones and scattering them? What's that all about? Well, after some research, I discovered that casting away stones had to do with tearing down altars erected to idols or false gods. It's about idolatry. It's about taking apart those altars we build up in our lives and on which we put that in which we trust. Now, I've not run across recently any worshipers of Baal, though I do run across idolatry most every day. I see it in others. I see it in myself. Our idols are simply those things that we fear, love, and trust instead of God, including, of course, obvious temptations like influence and money and power. But we also idolize certain other things that we've been taught to count as supreme, good things like country and family and one's reputation. But the Bible tells us if we fear, love, and trust anything or anyone more than God, it's idolatry. Plain and simple. When I care more about the good opinion of others than I do about God, I'm an idolater. I'm putting myself above God. So, what or whom are you fearing, loving, and trusting? Is it God? Now, why is idolatry such a big deal to God? God wants to be first in our lives, not for the sake of God's ego, but for our joy. I think that God commands us to worship God and God alone because all other gods, those little g gods, ultimately disappoint. They are straw gods who burn up when life gets hot. So it is for our joy that God commands our devotion. God alone is the one who is forever faithful, who never disappoints, whose love knows no end. Our money won't last. Our houses will rot and decay. Our careers will come to an end. Our country and her leaders will err. Our families fracture. Our reputations can be tarnished. But the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Rock of Ages, the song that never stops, the Father whose door is always open, the Mother who always guards, gathers, and guides her children will never fail us. So this week, if you find yourself, like Martha, worried and distracted by many things, ask yourself, whom or what am I fearing? What or whom am I trusting? Is it anything other than God? Those are stones that we need to cast aside, the altars we need to tear down. Jesus calls us, come, sit with me, rest a while. May you find opportunities to do this, to rest, and to be filled. May we keep our gaze fixed upon God, our source of life and love, so that we may be renewed and refreshed. Amen.